What a wonderful name. Oh, Lord. You know, we have to be instant in season and out. Praise team, I believe you need to sing that song one more time. But is it a powerful name to you? A wonderful name of Jesus. Let me open up in prayer. You can turn me down a little bit. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh. Father, we come to worship you. To magnify your name. To glorify you, Father. Father, as you have chosen me to bring this message this morning, I am nothing but a mere man. I am nothing but flesh and bone and flesh and blood, Lord. But I pray that you will speak through me as a microphone. That you would be seen and that you would be heard, Lord God. I pray that you will receive the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind up every hidden written spirit right now. I curse every demon by the root right now. And I say that you will not stop, you will not destroy, and you will not hinder, you will not kill any longer in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, Father. Let your spirit continue to be sweet. May your spirit continue to fall upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you a brief testimony. My wife and I were up all night last night. We went to bed. We were fine. All of a sudden, I woke up and I saw the hall light on, and my wife wasn't in the bed. So she came back and she said that she just had, her stomach was upset. Well, I went on back to sleep. All of a sudden, I felt these knots in my stomach. And I know it's not COVID, okay, just to let you know. I've had this before. And next thing I said, the devil, you're a liar. I said, I don't care if I don't go back to sleep at all. As I said, I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. When we're weak, then we're strong in the Lord, in his power and in his might. But I did tell my wife, I said, baby, you stay home. I said, you can watch it on YouTube. I said, but get your rest. Because, see, my wife does have leukemia. And so I have to be very careful to make sure that she is safe. Anyhow, it's really wonderful to be here. It's a new year. And I pray everyone had a wonderful New Year's Eve and New Year. I know we did. I know we did. We sure did. I was sitting there happy, and all of a sudden, Pastor Eric said, come on, let's get over there. Let's. What'd you say? Something about the music. Let's bring it in. Let's bring in the new year with some music. Yeah. Caught me off guard. Yeah. I mean, literally caught me off guard. Then God reminded me, you always saying be instant in season out. But it was all good. Hallelujah. I felt the anointing upon those two ladies. I felt the presence of God. That as they, I don't want to say singing, but as they were ministering, as they were ministering to us, they're ministering to the Lord thy God. And I felt the divine presence of God. I didn't want it to stop. I'm telling you, I didn't want it to stop. I'm ready to tell them, come on back up here. Just keep on singing. Let me tell you something. We think we are all that in a bag of chips. What? I love her. Hallelujah. Lynn, the Lord said he has answered your prayer. You have sought, you have seeked, you have cried, you have mourned. Yes. A little humor here. The beautiful sinner. A young girl once confessed to her pastor that she thought she was guilty of the sin of pride. She said, when I look in the mirror, I think I am beautiful. The pastor said, that's not a sin, that's a mistake. I hope y'all got it. It's a mistake. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to the word. Hallelujah. I'm hoping I can get through this. I do want to give a brief testimony of my salvation. I don't even know how much I'm going to get through the word today. But prior to me being saved, I was just a very wicked man. And I don't want to get into all stuff, but I was extremely wicked. But I remember the day, I don't remember the exact year, whatever, but I do remember the day that I want to say that the Holy Spirit hijacked me and possessed me. I remember it was in North Carolina, and I was not looking for God. I literally was not looking for God. I was happy doing my stuff and everything else. Ready to leave my wife. Could have cared less. But I remember my brother had become a Christian, and he knew that if I had not accepted the Lord, Jesus as my Savior, that I was destined to die. And, you know, someone was going to kill me because of the stuff that I was doing. But I remember that day in North Carolina, and this is why I say that. We have to let God do his thing. Yes. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen. He can do it however way he wants you to do it, when he wants to do it. We need to just sometimes take God out of the box, because he's not a jack in the box. Let him be him. Right. I remember that day. And I'm pretty sure some of you, I've shared this before, but that particular day, they put on an accompanying tape on Holy Ground. And they began to play the accompanying tape. A young lady began to sing to it, and another lady, individual, began to dance. Now, I'm sitting in my chair, and God is my witness. I didn't see or hear God. But the Holy Spirit came in and hit me. I felt out the chair. Keep in mind, I'm not church. I want no church guy. It wasn't no isms and schisms about you can't do this, you can't do this. Because I wasn't saved. I wasn't going to church. I was a heathen. Spirit of God came and hit me. I hit the ground. I began to scream and cry uncontrollably. Many of the young men that you see walking around are possessed by demons. Never forget that we are in a spiritual war. We must come back and understand what we are dealing with. I like to think I have a sense of humor, but when it comes to the devil, I don't play. And I don't play with God. God says, don't fear the one that can destroy the body. You better fear me, buddy. I can destroy your body and cast your soul into hell. We need to have a Holy Ghost reverence for God. We need to have a natural and a spiritual fear of God. I fell out that seat. I was possessed by numerous demonic forces. I know now. Those who are possessed have no idea. Keep in mind, Jesus is the greatest preacher, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. He is our example. But he is the greatest physician. I had hit that ground. I began to literally scream at the top of my lungs. Tears coming. I'm soaking wet. All of a sudden, I black out. My wife said that I literally cried and screamed, travailed for at least a half an hour to 45 minutes. Understand this, that God is the physician.
Yes, he is.
He performed heart surgery on us. He sometimes got to cut us open.
Yes,
get rid of that cancer. Get rid of whatever is in there.
Right.
Just in the natural, when you have an operation, you better hope you're not awake. They put you under. God performed an operation and he put me under.
That's right.
I'm telling you, I was out. They said I screamed and I knew what they were doing now. Demonic spirits were coming out. Demons. Oh, no telling how many. After about whatever, half an hour, 45 minutes, I came to myself. I literally stood up. The place was quiet. They were looking at me. I looked around like this. I literally stood up. I mean, I'm soaking wet. It looked like I had jumped in a pool with my clothes on. And I looked around, and it was true. I was blind.
Huh?
Now I could see. God saves everybody differently. Don't put him in a box. Yes, God has called us pastors, but don't think that God can't do it without us. Won't no pastor preaching. Well, I'm a preacher. Won't no preacher preaching.
Right.
Well, I lay hands on you. Well, they'll lay hands on me when I was knocked out. I stood up. And it was like 1,000 pounds had been removed from my shoulders. My wife said that she had wanted me saved. But she said she ain't want me that saved. She wanted me saved now. She ain't want me running the streets and getting high and selling dope and all and drinking, smoking. But she ain't wanted me to save. Y'all know what I mean. Going back, I'll never forget. I stood up. And what was so amazing to me, I had no withdrawal symptoms from any of the drugs. I literally had no withdrawal symptoms from any of the drugs, from cigarettes, from alcohol. I had a filthy, filthy, filthy mouth. I know it's hard to believe. Every other word was a curse word. All of a sudden, I wasn't cursing. Going back home, never forget. I can't remember whether I was driving or not. No, my brother was driving. And I was sitting beside him and my wife and my sister-in-law were in the back. We're in North Carolina. From North Carolina, deep in North Carolina, to back home, I'm asking them questions about the Bible. I don't know nothing about the Bible. They all are quiet. There's like, they later said, oh my God, what have we done? What have we done? But I wanted to share that because the anointing was upon you two ladies. Amen. I want to encourage you, when you know and you feel the anointing is on you, don't stop. When you feel, you got to know it. When the glory of God is on you, don't stop for no man. You keep allowing God to minister to the very souls that he's ministering to. Because it's not by form or format. You have your literature, you have your songs, yeah. Be instant in season out of study to show yourself approved. But step back and recognize the anointing that, wait a minute. God is using. Continue. Don't stop. Just continue. When you sing it and you see the souls crying, screaming, laughing, God is using you. The anointing is moving and it's growing mightily. Amen. Even in a greater way upon you, upon the praise team. Amen. Mm-hmm. Receive it, embrace it. Amen. Well, let's get to the word. Walking together in the Christian walk. We can't walk this walk by ourselves. I need you. I need you. I need you. And I need my brother. I need each of you. Amen. But whether you want to admit it or not, you need me. Amen. I need you, mm-hmm. Oh, no, sometimes. No. No, we need each other. Yeah. We're not an island unto ourselves. Amen. Hebrews 10:19-25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Jesus is the high priest. we no longer have to go to a natural priest.
That's right.
Okay. Jesus has done it all.
Yes, he did.
I don't go to a man to repent of my sins who may have even more sins than me. We go to the high priest, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised.
Yes.
This is what I want to get to, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Never forget, we're not saved by works, but it says faith without works. Okay? But everything that we do must be rooted and grounded in love.
Amen. Amen.
When you have to address an issue, when you have an issue with a sister or brother, it must be done in love.
Amen.
Don't get with someone else and start complaining and murmuring.
Come on.
You quench and you stop the power of God and the anointing of God. When we do that, we can bring division into the house of God.
Amen.
If you have an issue with a brother or sister, go to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're afraid to, you need to ask yourself why.
Mm-hmm.
This is scripture.
Yeah.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is,
mm-hmm.
but exhorting one another, and so much more, as ye see the day approaching. Now, I'm going to read this again, but this time I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. The reason why I like the Amplified is because it's free of personal interpretation of man, of independent denominationalism. It's straight from the Hebrew and the Greek manuscripts, okay? So I'm going to read 24 and 25 once again. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and then excite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as it is habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all that more faithfully as you see the day approaching. We need each other. We're called the body of Christ for a specific reason and purpose. The body has many parts, as the scripture talks about. Okay? Continue to remember that Jesus spoke in parables to get us to understand what He was trying to convey to us in the spirit. So the body has many parts, fingers, hands, joints, arms, legs, neck, a head has so many parts, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and tongue,
mm-hmm.
eyelashes, and so on. And every piece that is connected to your physical body is needed. Even the piece that you think is not needed. Try stubbing you in the middle of the night. The little toe, I don't even know what that's for. I really don't. I don't know what the little doesn't seem to support much. Some of y'all toes all curled up and going to the side and toenails 3 inches long on the little toe. I'm like, oh my God, need to close it up. Don't wear sandals. But if you wake up in the middle of the night and you stub that little toe, it affects the entire body. Oh my God. It affects the entire body. What am I saying? That is, God, Jesus calls us the body of Christ. Some of you may be the eyes. Some of you may be the finger. But some may be the little toe. And you are needed. And when you are not present, we as a body, we are hindered. We will continue to move forth, but we're hindered. Why? Because you're part of the body and you're needed. You may be the fingernail, where if you're not here, I can't scratch that itch. Think about it. We who feel that we are of no purpose, you are. You are. Each and every one of us, if you have become a member of God's Miracle Church, or you who are looking if you're a member of another church, when you're not consistent and diligent, that body is hampered. Now, it's true that some people can't attend a physical church due to physical limitations. Others have no Bible-believing congregation in their area. But aside from those exceptions, everyone who wants to maintain a vital, growing relationship with Jesus Christ needs to be involved in and with a local body of believers. We are not an island unto ourselves. Oh, the devil will make sure. He will make sure. We need each other. We need one another to grow. To grow. We didn't have service. I don't even remember last time we had Bible study. How long ago was it? What, 3 weeks ago? Okay. Long time ago. But it feels longer. We didn't have service last week. Sad to say, I missed y'all. Just didn't feel right. Just didn't feel right. Well, anyhow, I've heard many people say, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. That is true, but because you are Christians, you should want to go to church. Or they may say, I'm looking for the perfect church. I'm looking for the perfect church. Not understanding they are imperfect. And I say to that, well, when you find that perfect church and you join it, you just messed it up. It's no longer perfect. Or others may say, I don't want to go to church because there's too many hypocrites. You know what I say to that? There's always room for one more. May call somebody a hypocrite, but at least they're coming to church. And there's always an opportunity for God to touch them. Don't shout nobody down. So who originated the concept of the church? Was it Paul? Well, Scripture clearly teaches us that the church was established by Jesus Christ himself out of Matthew 16, 16. He's the Savior of the world and humanity's only hope. Religion can send man to hell. And really what religion is man trying to come and get to God. In most religions, we can talk about God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. We can talk all the good stuff. But watch this. As soon as you mention the name Jesus Christ, watch the division. Just Jesus Christ, just two words. You can talk all this. Mention Jesus Christ. You don't even have to say, you don't have to say anything else because they know what you're saying. He's the way, the truth. No man So, he's the Savior of the world and humanity's only hope. This truth is a foundation upon which Jesus established the church, and no evil force can prevail against it, out of Matthew 16, 18. I ministered a sermon a couple of years ago that was titled, "There is Going to Be a Wedding." The main scripture came out of Revelations 19:7 through 10 and 21:2. I stated the bride is preparing for the bridegroom and the wedding will be royal. Amen. Royal.
Hallelujah.
Royal. Never forget, the bride is the church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The bridegroom is Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
And where am I going with this? If we are believers, Christians, accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, then that means that we are the bride of Christ. Now, I have a son who is soon to be 36 years old. And he's dating a young lady. Now, if I find out through the grapevine that she's not faithful to him, that she's not loyal to him, that she masquerades as though she loves him, but her actions are contrary to that, what do you think I'll do as a father? Do you think that I will let's say he is head over heels in love with her and he wants to marry her? What would I do? I'd have to tell my son. Regardless how bad it would hurt. You're the bride. 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 We men, we're the bride of Christ. Stop stepping out on Jesus. Stop stepping out. But then you want to come back and be wed to Jesus. Stop stepping out on him. Stop having emotional affairs with the world. Stay with the Lord if you're his. God loves us far greater than what I love my son. And I know what I would do. Let me tell you something. God is not going to wed his son to a harlot. You who are listening by YouTube, get it right. In the last days, many will say, they'll say, I love you, God. Didn't I lay hands upon the sick and they recover? Didn't I cast out demons in thy name? Didn't I say that I, Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. We have got to get back to the elementary truth of the Word of God and preach the Word of God, not to tickle your ears, not to tickle your fancy, but so that we can get it right and grow up and be used by God when we leave out of here. What good is it if I'm continuously ministering to you, 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 you? We're all saved. Man should not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't need you to feed me. I know how to eat. I know how to cook. I know how to chew my food. I know how to swallow it. I know how to fill my cup up with water and drink it. We eat to go out. Throughout history, all kinds of movements have come and gone. In contrast, the church, also called the body of Christ, has thrived for centuries. And in our generation, the local church, believe it or not, is still growing, contrary to what the media may portray. Okay? Christianity is still strong. But see, we get messed up when we don't know the Word of God. What's happening to Christianity? Well, study Revelation. We're right on target. They should have did this. They should have did this. They should have did that. They said the same thing about Jesus. Well, Jesus said, I come to lay my life down. Jesus done talked to the boys. They done walked with them boys for a few years. Come to arrest Jesus. Peter instantly, dead in the flesh. Won't kill a man. Gonna try to cut his head off. Jesus is like, boy, what is your problem? I done told you why I'm here. Why are you delaying my purpose? Why are you just, let me get this man ear. Boom. Be right on target, people. Amen. Be right on target. Revelation is a difficult book to read, but I recommend studying and reading it. There are many books that go with it, the book of Daniel. But that way, when we know what's happening, we do what we're supposed to do. Amen. We don't walk in fear.
That's right.
It says, watch, for the day is coming. Why has the church survived despite changing times? Because it belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
That's simple. Jesus is the originator, sustainer of the church. Today, he ministers to both Christians and non-Christians. He ministered to me 34 years ago. And he saved me. He saved me. destined to go to hell and to bust it wide open. So when we as Christians claim we don't need to go to church, or one becomes lackadaisical in their attendance, well, what does this imply? It shows your relationship with Jesus. Or the lack of. If we can walk closely with God without the fellowship of other believers, then assembling on Sunday morning is a waste of time. It really is. Those who believe this would say, we don't need other Christians for support, encouragement, or prayer. Well, I need your prayers. I solicit your prayers. As we grow, we become a greater threat to the adversary, to the power of darkness. We cry out, fresh anointing, take us to a new level. But are you ready for that new level? Why do I say that? Because a new level, new devil. Are you ready for that confrontation? Are you putting on your armor as a soldier? Are you ready to go to battle? Keep in mind, you're a warrior, you're soldiers. This word is not elementary word. This is the truth. This is the meat of the word of God. This is what we are to do. We are soldiers. We are warriors. Soon as you are saved, you have enlisted into the army of the Lord. And now you are in basic training. But too many of us have stayed basic training. You have stayed a private. You are no threat to the enemy. You're sniveling, you're crying, you're whining all the time. Time to grow up. If Christians can maintain an intimate relationship with God apart from church involvement, then Jesus made a big, big mistake. Because after all, the church was his idea. Of course, the Lord didn't make any mistakes when he established the church. You and I need each other and other believers whom God commands us to love as ourselves, a mandate second only to loving him wholeheartedly, out of Matthew 22:37-39. When I give a sermon, I always try to include love, because love is the most powerful force. Without love, we can do nothing. But everything about us, we are to be love-based vessels. It's all about love. So why should Christians assemble as a local church? Why should we? Many times we come together, I don't like him, I don't like her, he has too much authority, she doing something, she definitely up to something. You realize that is nothing but carnality? Carnal Christians. I don't care how anointed you might think you are. That's carnal Christianity. Because if we are on the same team and we're doing the same thing, I got your back, you got my back. We must remember everything belongs to Jesus. You either believe that she saved, he saved, or they're a plant by the devil. Now, we all got isms and schisms. Don't get me wrong. We do it a little different way. But I either believe he's a man of God, might get on my nerves. No, he really don't. I love this brother. But this is true. The word says a house divided. We need to have each other's back as opposed to being backstabbers. Let's believe the best and the most out of each other. Oh, she didn't mean no. She didn't mean nothing wrong. He didn't mean it. Well, he just woke. He's just a little tired today. Come on. Everything must be done in love. We all are different. Come on now. We all are different. We all do it differently. When we eat, my wife is totally different from me. I don't even want to look at her when she eats. I got a plate. The other night, I just was hungry. And for Christmas, my daughter bought me a nice package of Omaha steaks. Oh, God. I said, girl, I love some meat now. I ain't no vegetarian. I'll tell you that right now. But it had some hot dogs in the package. Oh, my, I loved them. Some of the best hot dogs I ever tasted. So I said, honey, no, I got this. Boy, I cooked them hot dogs, boiled them, took them out, wrapped them in double smoked bacon. Some of you ain't never had this. I save when I eat. I'm sanctified. Holy Ghost filled, anointed to eat. wrapped them hot dogs about that big. Wrapped it in bacon, boy. Put a little pepper on it. Then fried them jokers up. Oh, I went to the store, I bought some coleslaw, some mustard, potato salad. I cooked some baked beans. Some Lay's potato chips. I even took a picture of the plate and sent it to my children. They said, Daddy, you crazy. You ain't gonna eat all that. I said, watch me. So the way I eat, I go around the plate, take a bite of the hot dog, get a little beans, then cold potato salad, some potato chips. That's what he's supposed to eat. So I think. Now my wife, she didn't eat that, but the way she eats, she'll have that plate. She'll eat one thing at a time. She'll eat that hot dog. Oh, we don't need to talk about him. Y'all must be kin. She'll eat the hot dog. Rest of the stuff sitting there. I'm like, Get the fork. She'll eat the baked beans. I can't watch it. I said, baby, you ain't enjoying it. Hey, don't tell me how to eat. That's how I eat. But it's amazing how we're different. But it don't, because we're different, it don't make it bad. It's just different. That's all. Just different. He preaches differently than me. He preached differently than everybody. I had to do it, Pastor Tony. That's my brother. But bless his heart, though. He a Washington fan. Let me stop. My wife bought me some Dallas Cowboys socks. I say, you definitely saved now, girl. I opened that bag, poor Christmas bag. It didn't matter what was in there. All I saw was Dallas Cowboy socks and a Dallas Cowboy hat. I was going to take a picture, send it to you by. That's my brother. But laughter is good, people. But we need one another. We really do. We assemble together to worship God corporately. I want the corporate anointing, boy, when we come together and the glory of God come down on us. I yearn for that. Worshiping him lifts our spirits and strengthens our souls. Many of the songs are filled with theological truths that educate us about the blessing we have in him, as those two young ladies sung. We assemble together, to learn of the word of God. We do. To learn of the word of God. In church, we often have the opportunity to learn from those with special biblical training and deep spiritual maturity. There's no shame in any of our games, but we are different. God has a different and a special anointing upon each and every one of us. But be ready to check any teaching against the whole word of God. Do never just take an individual's word for it. Search the scriptures to see that it be so, like the Berean Christians did in Berea. We assemble together to fulfill the Great Commission. As the body of Christ, we can send missionaries to far off places. We support them through our prayers, letters, emails, financial support. We assemble together to protect one another. We really do. If you're struggling, call forth the elders of the church, the leaders of the church. If you're dealing with some satanic activities in your house, we go over there. Take authority over that demonic spirit. Bless the house. Anoint the house. Amen. It's a little bit different. I don't spend no time screaming and yelling at no demon. You do know they don't care. You can scream until you blue in the face. They don't care. They keep screaming. Get tired. They leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The power and the blood of Jesus. Read the scriptures. You never see where Jesus struggled with no demonic spirit. Matter of fact, his presence. Oh, have you come to torment us before it's our time? Jesus spent no time exhausting himself. Just leave. Get on. Go. Go. Just go. Just a wimp. So we come together to protect each other. When you're struggling, we pray for one another. If I'm struggling, Matter of fact, I was struggling this morning. Am I right, Pastor? I said, I need y'all prayer. We went on in the back, talked a bit, and they prayed. Don't think you're too big. The devil wants you to think you're too big so he can mess you up. We assemble together to protect one another. But we assemble together to exercise our spiritual gifts. Each and every one of us have spiritual gifts. And do you know what your spiritual gift is? Grow up, find out. If you want to know, I can. There's actually a really nice test in the new members classes that my wife and I conduct. And it's just a really simple test to get you to see what your spiritual gifts are. Because some of us may not know. Some of you think that this is your spiritual gift, but you're walking in the wrong gift. Know your spiritual gifts. But we come to exercise our spiritual gifts. These supernatural blessings such as administration, organization, encouragement, mercy, blah, 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 are to be used for the common good in the body of Christ. And I'm going to say it, I'm a firm believer that every Christian should take the spiritual gift questionnaire to find out what their true spiritual gifts are. Because each of us have spiritual gifts that can enhance the local body. Some of us may have one, two, three, you could possibly have four. We assemble together to strengthen and to broaden the Christian impact in the world and in our community. Not just in here, but when we go, we're able to be a greater impact in our community. We assemble together to develop an atmosphere of support, of bridges, where we can walk upon, support when we may break a leg. We who are strong are to bear the infirmities of our weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. And we all get weak from time to time. So we come together to support one another, to encourage. So in closing, commitment to a local body of believers or church is the way to participate in fulfilling God's purpose. There we can receive solid instruction in the Word of God, participate in corporate worship, and find opportunities to exercise our spiritual gifts. Remember, though, each of us have spiritual gifts that our church needs. Many of us, we just want to be church goers. We sneak in and we sneak out. And we wonder why we haven't grown in our walk with the Lord. Some are afraid to really, really talk with the pastors. And this is not necessarily for us here. I'm speaking churches, general, especially big churches. You sneak in, you sneak out. Many don't want to get known. I believe in accountability. Because when I get to know you, you get to know me. And we are accountable to one another. But commit not just to any church, but to a church that is filled with love, teaches the Word of God, believes the Bible emphatically, because all Scripture has been inspired by God. Amen. But do we really believe that? Once again, remember and never forget that I need you and you need me. I need you and you need me. What I want to do, I want all eyes closed, all heads bowed.